When we get to a point where we're actually engaging people, there's a couple different methods that we use, and we're continuing to learn more methods. So as you come across things that are helpful to you, we really would appreciate you sharing those with us. The most common thing we do is using the Ten Commandments. Engaging somebody, making it lighthearted, we'll use some kind of an icebreaker, normally a track, and just helps people start thinking about spiritual things. So we don't want to come up to them to say, "Do you know the Lord?" Because it's like flashing, it's like turning on a bright flashlight in the eyes of someone sleeping. So this helps kind of people understand that we're here to talk about God, and specifically Jesus, but it's a way that is warming up to them, and they're feeling comfortable and actually able to build a bit of a rapport within 2 to 3 minutes. We'll joke around a bit and say, you know, one of the ways we introduce is, do you have a religious background at all? And whatever they say doesn't matter so much, but it helps them get in that mode. And then, would you consider yourself a good person? And most people do. And so we want to have fun with this and say, hey, there's a good person test, and we'll see how good you are. You probably do better than you think. You seem like a good person to me. You're here smiling and talking with me. And first question is, have you ever told a lie? People normally say everyone has. So, well, what about you? Yeah. What do we call people that tell lies? They're liars. Yeah, that's right. All right, you're doing good so far. You ever stole anything? No. But you just told me you're a liar. Well, okay, maybe when I was a kid, a piece of gum. It's like, okay, well, what would that make you? A thief. And people are starting to think, well, I'm not doing real good on this good person test, am I? And so, well, we just got another question, and we might ask about using God's name in a way it's not appropriate. We may say, Jesus said, it has been said, do not commit adultery, but I say to you, anyone who looks at another to lust for them has already committed adultery in their heart. Have you done that one? We may say, if you desired something that does not belong to you, that belongs to another person, regardless of what it is, that's coveting, and that's breaking God's law. Then we'll say, we'll introduce ourselves and say, okay, now my name's Brad. Jim, pleasure to meet you, Jim. Thank you for going through the test. So Jim, by your own admission, you're a liar, you're a thief, and a blasphemer, and you'll stand before God on Judgment Day. How are you going to do there, innocent or guilty? Well, according to this, guilty. Okay, well, hypothetically, if you are found guilty, is it going to be heaven or hell? And then, for the most part, people really, even if they are just giving us a hard time to begin with, most people become quite humbled at this point, and I haven't really thought about that. And it's a good time to think about it now before, you know, we go into eternity, because eternity is a very long time. We're going to be dead longer than we're alive, and eternity, it's going to last forever. So what do you think? Does it concern you that if you are found guilty, that you might spend eternity in hell? And we use a hypothetical. We're not judging. We'll say also, I'm not coming from a standpoint of judgment because I'm guilty as well. And a lot of people will say, well, didn't God send Jesus? And even one time when Dallas were out, we talked to some Muslims, and I was like, this is not going to go well. And so we were going through this with the Muslims, and they were really struck by the law and concerned about hell. And when I asked, they said, well, very expectantly, hopefully, said, well, didn't God send Jesus? And it's like, yes, he did. And they were relieved to hear that Jesus paid the price on our behalf. Just like if I were to burn a DVD and I'm caught in a court of law, the fine is either $250,000, 5 years in prison. If I don't have the money, we'll ask them, what if I don't have the money? And they'll respond, well, it's prison. That's right. But if someone in the courtroom said, I love Brad and I've sold everything I have and here's $250,000 to pay his fine, what happens to me? And most people say, well, you'll go free. That's right. And in a similar way, even though I've lied, I've stolen, I've blasphemed, I've broken God's law, and you've admitted also by your own admission that you have broken God's law. And that puts us in a terrible place. However, Jesus has paid that fine on our behalf. So for those who repent and trust in him on that day of judgment, even though we deserve to go to hell, we are free to go to heaven, and the law has been fulfilled. The judge has not looked the other way. The judge has not bent the law at all, but it's been fulfilled. And then where do we go from here? If people are understanding this, one of the good ways that we've found to finish this off is to say, you know, a lot of people, they think that God couldn't forgive me. I've done such bad things. And a good way to help people see this without having to asking to make a decision, because I want to make it clear to people, it's not about how sincere you are. It's not about a decision that you're making. It's about what Jesus did on the cross, which is completed work. Now, do you think that there is anything you've done in your life that Jesus's perfect work on the cross could not forgive? And put in that perspective, people are like, well, gosh, I guess putting it that way, he could forgive anything. God would forgive anything. That's right, because Jesus' work was perfect and it's completed and it's for you. And then we can ask, would you like to thank God? We can pray right now to thank God for what he has done for us in Jesus, that he has released us from the prison of sin. He has released us. We're no longer slaves to sin, but that we're able to live for God, and we are his children. He's adopted us into his family.